We're holding on Hey Dalit Ahmed Bey's five lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday that we talked about in the Mishnah about when you have to do Kisi Adam and when not. And we mentioned that a Kori, because it's a Suffolk, then you shouldn't shecht it on Yom Tov, and it reads a Suffolk Chai, Suffolk Behema, so you shouldn't shecht it on Yom Tov, because then you're going to be getting into the question of whether you should be doing Kisi Adam. You don't want to be Mevatel the Mitzvah. Unnecessarily, if you were over and shecht it on Yom Tov, then we said you can't do Kisi Adam because, and we said the Gemara, the relevant Gemara in Beitza talks about a couple of reasons why not. It can be because whatever you set aside for the purpose of Kisi Adam, for any animals, you're going to shecht on Yom Tov, or any wild animals or birds, you're going to shecht on Yom Tov, whether you set aside dirt or ashes or whatever for that purpose is maybe only meant to be used for a vade and not for a suffix. And another point we said was because if you do kisi adam, people might think that it's actually completely a chaya, and then they're going to end up eating its chaylev, which in fact might be also because it might be a behemoth. So in that connection, we learned yesterday that Rav Eina had given a drosha saying that if a person shechts an animal for a sick person on Shabbos, where then he's allowed to shecht, then Rav Eina says he also has to do kisi adam. And Rabbah didn't bite him. We said Rabbah didn't like that Rav Eina had said that and criticized him very sharply. And and the reason is because we find in a Braisa, we had a discussion, Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, about where Rav Yossi had said, why indeed can't we shecht a kori on Yom Tov and why can't we do kisi adam? And Rav Yossi had made a kavachomer to prove that. Rav Yossi's kavachomer had been between Mila and kisi adam. You do Mila on the eighth day of the Shabbos, but you don't do it even on Yom Tov. If it's a suffix, how much more so kisi adam? So they told him, what about, on the other hand, Tekiyas Shofar outside Yerushalayim or outside the Beis Hamikdash? You don't do it on Shabbos. A Vada, I think, is not Dosha Shabbos, and a Suffolk of it is Dosha Yom Tov. So now let's analyze that part of the discussion. He said, Amruloi, the Chachamim said to Rav Yossi, Tekiyas Shofar, the Vulan Techiyah, you can prove to the contrary that just because something is it's because the vade of something is mutter on Shabbos and the suffix is not. Therefore, you're arguing the suffix and it shouldn't be doable on Yom Tov either. And therefore, because the koi is a suffix, whether you need to do kisi adam, therefore you shouldn't do it on Yom Tov. But chantal, that's not a valid kavachomer. Tekiyas Shofar, the gurum derchiyak, you can prove to the contrary from Tekiyas Shofar in the provinces, meaning outside the Beis Hamikdash, according to Rashi, or outside Yerushalayim, according to the Rabban. She'in vador derch Shabbos, where a definitive thing where somebody is definitively not required to hear shofar, then it's not Dosha Shabbos, because as we talked about yesterday, the famous Zera Dirabba, you shouldn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah because the person may forget that it's Shabbos and carry out the shofar in order to learn how to blow. Or Sefer Dosha Yom Tov, but the suffix of shofar is Dosha Yom Tov. So then the Chacham said, so you see that just because something, a vade, if something is not Dosha Shabbos, nevertheless you see that a suffix of it can still take place on Yom Tov. Well, the Gemara says, my Sefer, what suffix are we talking about? Even a suffix, full suffix Yom Tov, do we mean when we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and now this year, this coming year, for example, Rosh Hashanah is going to be Shabbos Sunday, so, but most years when Rosh Hashanah is both days on weekdays, in principle, after all, I mean, Minat Torah and Rosh Hashanah, like most of the Yom Tovim, like all of the Yom Tovim, Minat Torah is only one day. It's only Midrabbanan that you have the concept of 2 days of any Yom Tov. And in the case of Rosh Hashanah, fine, you have a special situation over there because most people outside Yerushalayim and sometimes even in Yerushalayim wouldn't know when Rosh Chodesh was Nifba, and you have a whole thing about it in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah. In any case, though, the whole concept that we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is also because of Suffolk. But Midaraisa, either one or the other is Yom Tov. So you're going to say that that's what we're talking about, that, for example, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, even though we don't actually know, theoretically, whether today is really the first day of Rosh Hashanah, or whether today is the first day of the or whether today is the last day of the previous month, the 30th of Elul. So you're going to say that we don't blow shofar. What do you mean we don't blow shofar? Hashtag Vade Yom Tov now. Yeah. But shofar overrides even definite Yom Tov. We blow shofar even if we were to be in a place, let's say, where they only do 1 day Rosh Hashanah. Let's say they have a way of knowing that today is definitively Rosh Hashanah. And we definitely do it. And besides that, we do it on each day. And one of them is definitely Yom Tov. Do you need to tell us that you would do it on a day which is doubtfully weekday, doubtfully Yom Tov? Of course you would do it. There's not a problem. Maximum, either it is Yom Tov, and the Torah tells us to blow a shofar on Yom Tov, or it's a weekday, and there's no issue with blowing a shofar at all. So, of course, so what do you mean? The Chachamim are saying that suffix is not Dersa Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, fine, that's not what we mean. What we mean is, when you have a person, like we talked about yesterday, a Trumpet Moran Androgynous, where it's doubtful whether they're a man or a woman. So let's say, for example, let's say you have a place where they blow shofar for only one day. Let's say indeed we're in a place where they indeed have only one day Rosh Hashanah as it is Minat Torah. Nevertheless, so you do blow shofar for Vaday, but you don't blow shofar for Suffolk. Or rather, the Chacham say you do blow shofar for suffer. A tumtum or an androgynous, the Chacham are going to say they would still blow shofar, or you would blow shofar for them, even though it's suffer whether they're a man or a woman. So therefore, say the Chachamim, that just because something is not done on Shabbos does not mean that in a case of suffer it would not be done on Yom Tov. So that's what they use to try to refute Rav Yossi. Good of Yossi, so what does Rav Yossi answer that? He says, well, Tanei, well, he goes according to his own Svara, the Omer, because he says, Isha Vadois Nami Choka. He says, as a matter of fact, we were learning yesterday that a woman is Potter from Kiyas Shoser, because the Mitzvah says Shaz Nan Grama, but Rav Yossi disagrees and says that even a 100% woman, nevertheless, can blow Shofar. She may not be Mechoyev, but she can still do it on Yom Tov if she wants to. As opposed to Kisi Adam, as opposed to Kisi Adam, if we know that this is a behemoth, so if even a Vada woman can do the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah, then how much more so a suffered woman? On the other hand, with the toy, no, if we know that it's a behemoth, you can't do the Kisi Adam of it, because the fact is there's no Kisi Adam of a behemoth. So therefore, we're not going to say that misafik we should be mechalal Yom Tov. So Rav Yossi doesn't consider the objection from shofar to be a major objection that he should worry about. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the pasuk says when it talks about bringing korbanos in Parshas Vayikra, it says that you have to do smicha on the head of the korban. And so Braisa says, B'nei Yisrael. Now the pasuk introduces it by saying Gadol B'nei Yisrael. Hashem says speak to B'nei Yisrael. In certain cases, now often we say that when it's a Dabar B'nai Yisrael, it's just a mitzvah that's addressed generically to the Jewish people. But sometimes we say that Dabar B'nai Yisrael means specifically to the men and not the women. B'nai Yisrael, below B'nai Yisrael. So here is one of those examples. The Tanya, B'nai Yisrael Sonchen, only B'nai Yisrael, only men do smicha on their korbanos, below B'nai Yisrael Sonchen, but women do not. Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon Omer, on the other hand, Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon say, no, Noshim Senchas Rishus. Women can do smicha on the korban as a Rishus. If they want to, then they're able to. We don't have to prevent them from it. Tosfos points out that in other places, the Gemara says that they wouldn't actually do a full smicha, as in real smicha on the korban's head. It's supposed to be the full koichin, with the person's full strength. Here, the women wouldn't do that. They would only do an akful yada, which means like they just place their hands on it. So Rav Yossi would have to agree that to do b'chol koicha would be also because that would in effect be doing malacha with kodshin. So therefore, to the point of we're doing avoda with kodshin. So the same way over here, Tosfos says the comparison is that tkiyas shofar is not actually a malacha like we talked about yesterday. It's what the Gemara calls it in a few places chachma v'ena malacha. It's a skill. It's not really a malacha. So minat Torah wouldn't even be also on Shabbos. Midrabanan, it's also because of Zera Diraba. So therefore, we have an exact comparison over here where we have something which is where Rav Yossi is going to allow the women to do a semi-smicha, even though it looks like avoda. And the same way, Rav Yossi is going to allow women to do shofar and roshana, even though it's a semi-malacha, a chachma, rather than a malacha. So therefore, Rav Yossi is going to say that yes, women do in fact do tkiyas shofar and Rosh Hashanah if they want to. And therefore, Trumptum and Androgynous, you also could, and therefore, when you Chachamim are saying that a Suffolk is not Dofa Yomtov, Rabbi Yossi says nothing new, and a Suffolk is Dofa Yomtov. This point about whether you do Tkiyas Shofar for women, whether in the later poskim, argue then who is the halacha like, and in particular, can women make a bracha on Tkiyas Shofar? This is Negea. For example, if you go nowadays on Mitzvah Shofar, and you find a woman who hasn't yet heard Shofar, and you blow for her, can the bracha be said? Ideally, she should say the bracha because you were already Yotze, but if not, then you say the bracha, but can you? For Sfaradim, you can't. Sfaradim follow the Rambam, who paskins in the end of it, like the Chachamim, that no, women are not chayiv in shofar at all. They want to hear shofar, of course, if they want to come to the shul and hear shofar, of course, but they can't make a bracha on something which is not required, whereas you have the Balei HaTosfos in a number of places learn that they can, and there are more paskins like them. So you have machlokas, even to nowadays, between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, what the halacha is as far as making a bracha on a mitzvah that you're not actually obligated in as shofar for women. Okay. So anyway, so the point is, so the Chachamim have their objection against Rabbi Yossi's Kavah Chomer, but Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree with your premise in the first place. Your premise is that women are not chayiv and shofar, and therefore tumtum and androgynous can't either do shofar when it would be even on Yom Tov because of a suffix. They can only hear it together with other people. Rabbi Yossi says nothing doing. Women can in fact do shofar even on Yom Tov itself if they want to. And the Gemara points out, Amar Ravina, Ulamai Dekamir Rabbanan Nami. You know what? Even according to the opinion of the Chachamim, even if they, even if we follow their own opinion and we say that women are not chayav and tkiyas shofar and they're not allowed to do and they can't do it, even a vaday on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and they wanted to use that as a reputation against Rabbi Yossi's Kavah Chomer, the truth is, Islay Pircha, the truth is there is a way of slogging up their argument anyway. Malach tkiyas shofar shekin badod, the Shabbos mikdash. Because you know what? Tkiyas shofar, when you have a vaday, when you know that today is Rosh Hashanah, then you blow shofar even when it's Shabbos. And for men who are definitely chayav, how do you compare to kisui where there is no inside the Beis Mikdash or out? There's never a time when you do kisui adam on Shabbos. So therefore, the Chachamim are trying to prove from Kisi Adam, we are trying to prove from Shofar, but the truth is, Shofar is not a universal thing, whereas Kisi Adam is. So actually, we can slog up their argument against Rabbi Yossi anyway, even if we hold that women are in fact not able to do Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So this goes back to then on the previous Amud, when Rabbi Eina had given a drosha that if you shecht for a chola on Shabbos, you have to do Kisi Adam, and Rebbe was very surprised about that and couldn't accept that. Well, that's why because we see now from this whole discussion that in fact it's not so, and clearly the assumption is that you do not do Kisi Adam on Shabbos even if the shkita itself was being done beheter. In Shulchan Aruch, it paskins like this. You shouldn't do Kisi Adam. Even if you already have a spade stuck into the ground, you still shouldn't. Only that night, if you can still see some of the blood on the surface, on the ground, then go ahead and do Kisi Adam then after the fact. But don't do it on Shabbos. The Chachamim want to make a hecker. Again, one reason we learned yesterday, the Taz brings from the Ran. The Taz brings from the Ran that since it's true you were allowed to shecht, but nevertheless the Chachamim wanted that people should realize today is a day that's fundamentally also the shecht. The only reason for the hetter was because of the chola. Therefore, only what's allowed for the chola is allowed, and nothing else. Therefore, you can't do the kisi adam. Then the Mechaber brings Yesh Mishoimer. Some say that if you already have ashes that have been set aside to cover, for example, waste with, then you can do Kisi Adam with it already, and then you can do Kisi Adam with it on Shabbos, because then we're not even talking about using dirt or even picking up a shovel with dirt. We're just talking about screwing some ashes on it. And therefore that kind of thing, the Mechaber says Yesh Mishoimer. Some say that maybe such a thing would be better. With the discussion between Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim, the Gemara says, Heshiv Rabbi Elazar HaKapa B'Ribi. Rabbi Elazar HaKapa B'Ribi had given a refutation against Rabbi Yossi, and as we said, B'Ribi doesn't mean the son of Ribi or anything, as we often have, that days means the son of. B'Ribi means the great Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapa B'Ribi had given another refutation against Rabbi Yossi. Mala Mila Shekein Enin Ahegis B'Leili Yom Tovim. We said, how do you prove from Mila, which doesn't apply on Yom Tov nights? So you might ask, what do you mean? Why the expression on Yom Tov nights? What do you mean? Do you not do Mila on a Yom Tov nights, but you do it on other nights throughout the year? No, Mila always has to be done during the day. And the answer is, Ella, no, what Rebbe Lozar HaKapa means, Malam Mila Shekein, and in a Hegel, the Leilas to the Yomif. He doesn't mean specifically Yom Tov nights. He means in general, any night. You don't do Mila ever on any night. Time of a Kisi, Shenoyva, Leilas to the Yomif, as opposed to Kisi Adam, which applies equally well by night or by day. So therefore, Rebbe Lozar HaKapa Beribi's argument is that you see, So you're telling me, Rabbi Yossi, that you want to prove from Mila to Kisi Adam, but the difference is that Kisi Adam has a greater Humra over Mila in that it applies even by night, whereas Mila applies only by day. And as the Brai said, finished off, Omer Rab Abba, that Rab Abba said, which we learned yesterday, Rab Abba, over here was actually Rav, the Amura, this is one of the things that Rab Chia had said, Eini Alei and Truva, I have no refutation for it. You have Rab Yossi's argument, and Rab Chia says, I have no way of refuting it. Beheshed, Rab Elazar HaKapa Beribi, and yet Rab Elazar HaKapa Beribi was able to find just that, was able to find a refutation against Rab Yossi's argument. But again, the bottom line is, Rabbi Yossi is saying that, that they're saying that that's a reason not to do the Kisi Adam of a Koryan Yom Tov, so the other Chachamim don't accept this Kavachoyim, but nevertheless, the Din is still a Din, again, for the reasons that we said before, because you only mean it for Vadai, or not for Suffolk, or because you don't want people to be mocked to the Chelev of it, so you still have that reason, we don't accept Rabbi Yossi's Kavachoyim, but on the other hand, we also accept his premise, which is that you don't do Kisi Adam for a Suffolk for a Vadai on Shabbos, and therefore that refutes what Rav Eina is saying, that if you shechted for a sick person on Shabbos, you should do Kisi Adam. So again, you have Rishonim who say that if you already have ashes that are prepared for the purpose, for other purposes that you're allowed to use ashes on Shabbos for example, to cover human waste, then you would be allowed to use some of those ashes in this case where you shechted, for a sick person, but yesh mishomer, there is such an opinion. Next, Mishnah says, if a person shechts a wild animal or a bird and it turns out to be trefa, or a person shechts in honor of Avodah Zarah, so in the case of trefa, of course, there'll be mutar b'hanah, but it's also to eat. In the case of Avodah Zarah, it's outright also b'hanah. We talked about before, how is it that he doesn't become a mumur and a shechita is possible? Anyhow, we talked about, for one thing, that one time doing that doesn't make him a mumur necessarily. Anyway, v'ashechet cholin b'fnim, or a person shechts cholin in the azara, which as we learned in the previous parak is also to eat and even also b'hana. V'kodshim b'chutz, or a person shechts kodshim outside the b'smikdash, where he's chayv kores for that, and the kodshim themselves become also b'hana. Or chayev oifan iskolim, or he shechted a wild animal or a bird that has to be given skila. The two cases where an animal or a bird has to be given skila is if it killed somebody, or if it was used in bestiality. So in all those cases, once the gemar din has been done, once the beis din has passed in that this creature is chayev skila, then even if you shecht it, then it's still also b'hanal. So you have in Parshas Mishpatim, it talks over and over about a shur goring a person, and the Gemara explains that the Gemara explains elsewhere that in the Gemara and Bava Kama, and it comes up in other places as well, that we have a Gzeira Shava that tells us it's not just a shur, it's any kind of animal, just Dibra Kosav Behoiva. The Torah is talking about the most common case, because oxen are the ones most prone to act this way. So all those cases, you have an animal where you shechted it, and it's also, most all of them, it's also to eat, and most of them, it's also Bahana. So do you have to do Kisi Adam? Rav Meir nevertheless says you have to do Kisi Adam because Shchita is Shchita. Bacham and Poitrim, whereas Bacham say that it's not, because it's not Shchita Ru'uya, because if you can't eat it afterwards. Because the pasuk says by Kisi Adam, it never actually says the word shchita in the pasuk. It says the shofach has damai. It says it should spill out his blood. But because earlier in the pasuk it says asher yet ochel, that a person shechts an animal, that a person has an animal or a bird asher yet ochel that can be eaten. Therefore, the chacham must say if you can't eat it, then it means it's not subject to Kisi Adam. Why does Rav Meir hold that it is? We'll see in the Gemara. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Shechet in a snab labiyade. On the other hand, the person shecht and it ends up becoming a nevela. He botches the shechita. Hanoicher, or if he stabs the animal or rips it, that we had a number of times in the Masechta, the word Noicher, and we have a few different definitions. What it means, and actually earlier in the Masechta, I explained that it means that he starts at the animal's nostrils, which is called Nechirayim, and then starts ripping it all the way down to the, and then starts ripping it or cutting it all the way down to the chest and kills it that way. So that's called Noicher. Another example Rashi brings later on in our Sugya on Amud Beis, in the case of a bird, it can mean he strangles it. Whatever the case, it's obviously not a shechita. Rama Akir, or he uproots, he pulls out the simonim from their place, and then the shechita is not a valid shechita anymore. Potter, Malachasis, then he's Potter from doing Kisei Adam. Even Rav Meir is going to agree to that, because at least it has to be a shechita. So, as we'll see in the Gemara, why the mayor will require kisi adam as long as there was a shchita, but even if the shchita was einarun. Now, we have this point about shchita ra'uya and shchita shein ra'uya. We had a great deal about it in the previous parak. And there, we have, as far as oisav esmenoi, and there the expression in the Mishnah had been that the Chachamim say that if it's shchita shein ra'uya, then nevertheless, it's still applies. And then Reb Shimon had said that not. Whereas here we have the other way around. Here we have that the Chachamim are saying that shchita shein ra'uya is lo shma shchita, and Reb Meir is saying it's chayim. So who are the Chachamim in each case? So Amar Rabbi Ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Yechonim. What happened was, when it comes to Oisiv Es Benoi, Rebbe found more logical Rabbi Meir's position that even Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya is a valid Shchita and will apply to Oisiv Es Benoi, Ushnoi Beloshen Chachamim. And therefore, in the previous parak, he taught that in the Mishnah as the opinion of the Chachamim. In other words, part of Rebbe's editorial job with the Mishnah, he had many different collections of Mishnayos that are available to him from different Tanoim and from different generations, and part of his job was to go through and decide which opinion is accepted by him and his Beis Din as the mainstream opinion. And then that one will be given as the opinion of the Chachamim. And then whichever other opinions disagree with that will be presented by name. So when it comes to Oisav Es Benoi, Rebbe agreed with Reb Meir's Svara that there, it doesn't matter, Shchita Ru'uya or Shchita Shein Ru'uya, either way, it'll trigger the dinim of Oisav Es Benoi, and therefore, so he taught that in the previous parak as the Chachamim, and then Reb Shimon's opinion is given by name. Udur Reb Shimon, the Kisi Adam, on the other hand, he saw and found more logical Reb Shimon's opinion when it comes to Kisi Adam, Ushnoi Beloshen Chachamim, and therefore in our Mishnah, he teaches it as the words of the Chachamim. So in other words, the fact that in the previous parak, the Chachamim are saying that Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya is a valid Shchita and triggers Oisav Es Benoi, whereas in our parak, the Chachamim are saying that a Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya is not a valid Shchita and doesn't require Kisi Adam, those are the opinions of Reb Meir and Reb Shimon respectively, but in each case, Rebbe is presenting it as the Chachamim, with the other opinion being presented by name, to indicate that he holds in one case like one and in the other case like the other. So this is different, by the way. Yesterday we had an expression where the Gemara, where at the beginning of the parak, we had an expression where Rabbi Yosef said, about the Mishnah, Rebbe even nosif la aligud the Tanoi. He said that, 2 days ago, actually, he said it was actually yesterday. We had said that, in our Mishnah, you seem to have something which was partial, which was like two different opinions, and we said so. That's exactly it. That Rebbe composed that Mishnah and decided different opinions in it. And in one particular detail, he held like one Tana, in the other one, Rabbi Yosef had said when it came to Shchita Shein Ruya, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. And as far as Hamod of Harocha, as far as the fact that you have to, that even Kodesh Bedek Abayis, you have to stand them in front of the Kohen, and he has to evaluate them, he held like Reb Meir. So in other words, there we have Rebbe composed a brand new Mishnah that follows that hybrid opinion, where he holds like Reb Shimon in one thing and Reb Meir like the other. Here we're not saying that Rebbe composed a new Mishnah for this purpose, but it means, in other words, in the existing Machlokas, in each case, Rebbe decided the Halacha should be like him, the Halacha should be like him, and therefore put that as the opinion of the Chachamim in each place. Let's figure out why indeed Rebbe holds that way. So, first of all, we have to figure time did Reb Meir but Oisav Es Benoi. Why, when it comes to Oisav Es Benoi, does Reb Meir hold that Shchita Shein Ru'uya is still considered a valid Shchita, and therefore Oisav Es Benoi comes into play? The answer is Amar Rabbi Shor ben Levi, Gama Shchita Mishchutei Chutz. Because he learns Gzeira Shava on the word Shchita from Shchutei Chutz, from the fact that the Torah tells us you can't Shecht Korbanos outside the Azara. In both places, you know, by Oysev Esvenoi Lo Sishchatu B'makom Echad, and by Kodshim, Asher Yishchat, Shorei Kesev, etc. So Mahosim Shchita Shein Ruya. Now, when it comes to Kodshim outside the Azara, by definition, it's Shchita Shein Ruya, because any time you Shecht Kodshim outside the Azara, it's going to be also Bahana. And nevertheless, Shma Shchita, nevertheless, the Torah considers it a Shchita, and therefore then it's going to be Chayiv Kores, and the Torah calls it Shchita. The same thing over here. By Osev Esvenoi, Reb Meir was going to say Shchita Shenir Uyah, Shma Shchita. Even if it's a Shchita Shenir Uyah, nevertheless, it can still be considered a Shchita, and therefore it will trigger Osev Esvenoi. As opposed to, in other words, by Kisi Adam, it doesn't even say the word Shchita. It just says V'shofach Es Domoi that he spills out the blood. So therefore, the mayor is going to say that when it comes to Oysev Esvenoi, we have reason to consider it a shkita, regardless, whereas by Kisi Adam, we do not. But Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer for that? He who says that even by Oysev Esvenoi, shkita shenir uya lo shmo shkita, so my timer, why does he hold that? So Amar Mani Bapakish, because he has a different Gzeira Shava. Goma Mitzvoyach Tebach Vahochen. He learns Gzeira Shava from when we find that Yosef, when the second time the brothers come down to Mitzrayim, this time with Binyamin, so Yosef tells the person in charge of his household, who Chazal tell us was Menashe, he tells him, invite them into the house, Mitzvoyach Tebach Vahochen, and shecht a shechting and prepare it. And it would take an animal and shecht it, and show them that it was shechted properly, And this way they'll eat with me. We're going to learn actually more about that in the next paragraph. We're going to talk about what Yosef was telling the guy to do to show them that they're allowed to eat it. We're going to talk about it in connection with Gidan Nasha, but we'll also talk about it in connection with Bechlal. This is before the Torah is given. Are they even required to eat only from shechted animals, or can they eat from an animal that underwent Nechira? Stabbing or ripping or whatever, like we said before. So therefore, he's going to learn from there, where it says the word tvoyach tevach, and which is a synonym for shchita, and therefore he says the mala alon shchita ro'oya. Now there it was a shchita ro'oya, because the whole point is that Yosef is telling the guy, make sure that my brothers are going to be able to, well, not his brothers, he didn't tell them, he's his brothers, but whatever, make sure these guys are going to be able to eat it. Afkan shchita ro'oya, in the same way, by Yosef Esvenoi, it must be, we're talking about a shchita that actually makes it valid that you can actually eat it. Okay. Mar says that Rav Meir, so the question is, Rav Meir Nami Ligma Mitzvayach, well then why doesn't Rav Meir have to learn from that same Zera Shava from Yosef and say therefore that it has to be a shchita ro'oya? And the answer is because Rav Meir holds done in shchita and shchita, they're done in shchita and tzvicha. Because you have to have the same word for Zera Shava, shchita and tzvicha, and there may be synonyms, but the fact is they're different words, and therefore you can't learn one from the other. So the Gemara says, ma naftamina. So what's the difference? Sometimes we have a Gzeira Shava that can be in different words. Altona Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we have a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, which was brought in many, many places in Shas. Most recently, we had it a couple of times in Menachos. The Shava Koin, Vaha Koin, Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. The pasuk talks about saras of houses, and in one pasuk it says, the Koin shall return, and in another one the pasuk says, the Koin shall come. And we learn Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia, that Shiva and Bia are the same thing. Namely, the Torah tells us that the Torah tells us the dinim of Taras of houses in Parshas Metzora, but it tells us that you can have a case where the Koyan comes after the second week and he finds that the Taras is and he finds Taras on the wall. So he was there originally, he closed up the house, and then he comes back a week later and the Taras is still there, and the pasuk says, and he comes back and he finds the tzaras there, and the pasuk says he tears down the house. Now, on the other hand, Torah Shabbat Peh tells us it's not so. After the second week, the house is not necessarily torn down. Sometimes you're going to have to close it up again and wait a third week, or namely, specifically, if, so, if, so after, So what happens is after the first week, if you see after the first week, the Shova Koyin, the Koyin returns, and if he sees that the Tzaraas is spread, then you take out the stones that have the Tzaraas on them, and you take out the plaster and everything around it, and throw it outside the city, and you put back in new stones and replaster the house. Then if he comes back a week later and finds that the Tzaraas is there again, then you tear down the house. But on the other hand, what happens if after the first week the Tzaraas is not spread? So here's where we need Teresh Malpeb. It tells us now he comes back and finds after the second week the Tzaraas is spread, even though the Torah makes it sound as though you tear down the house. At that point, you don't. We learn Xavier Shava, just like it said, the Shava playing returns after 1 week and finds that the Tzaraas is spread. You don't tear down the house yet. You just take out the stones, etc. The same way, when the Koyin comes after the second week, even though the Tzaraas is spread, if it had just been as is after the first week and only spread in the second week, then he only takes out the stones and the plaster, etc., and does not tear down the house. So then in that case, what he'll do is he'll close up the house for another week, and then at the end of the third week, we'll see what the situation is. And if after that, Tzaraas has come back, then you tear down the house. So the point is, we learn from that Zeta Shove, even though one pasuk says Vishov and the other one says Uva, and those are not the same word at all, and nevertheless, we can make a Zeta Shove. So what's the problem, according to the mayor, of doing a Zeta Shove between the word Shachat and the word Tova? And the answer is, as the Gemara answers in many places in Shas, where it brings this point, that would only be, you can do that when there's no other available word for Zeder Shava that's like it, then you can use even a dissimilar word. But if there is a similar word, and then we're going to learn only from the one that's similar to it. So here, since we have, Rav Meir says, you have a choice of where the Zeder Shava is going to be learned from which is going to be the other end of the Zeder Shava. Where it says the word Yishkat or Yosef and his brothers, where it says Tvayach, then Rameh says we're going to have to pick the one that's similar. A number of Sfarim on Klolei Ashas point out that many times that a person can't darshan a Gzeira Shava on his own. A person can darshan a Gzeira Shava only if you have the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. But the vote would be not always with a Tanoim given by the Rebbeim all the exact details of a Kavachon. Sometimes they would have, for example, that they knew there's a certain number of Gzeira Shavas. They knew, they were told there's a certain number of Gzeira Shavas in the Torah, but not the identity of all of them, and they have to figure it out themselves. Or sometimes they would be told there's a Gzeira Shava in connection with this din, but where the other end of the Gzeira Shava, they would the Talmudim would have to figure out for themselves based on their knowledge of Torah. So this would be one of those examples that we know that there's a Gzeira Shava involving Shchita, but what's the other end of it? Whether it's Shchut Echut, and therefore we learn that it doesn't matter Shchita Sheinu Ruya or not, or whether it's Tuvayach Teva, which means that it has to be Shchita Ruya, that they didn't necessarily tell their Talmudim, they left it for them to figure out, and therefore eventually a Machlokas could develop it. Okay. The Gemara says, in other words, the idea would be, it was told to Moshe at Sinai that there is such a Gzeira Shava, but Hashem didn't tell Moshe specifically where the other end of the Gzeira Shava is, and therefore over the generations, a machlok is developed in it. Okay, so Reb Shimon Nami Ligma Meshchotechet. So that explains why the mayor does not want to learn Reb Shimon's Zera Shava from Yosef and his brothers, which Vayach Tevach V'Hochen, because he says if you have available the word Yishchat by Shchotechot, then we're not going to learn from Utvayach. Tosfos has a bit of a discussion about that, and one thing Tosfos points out, another point that Meir could have said is, after all, the din of Kisi Adam and the din of Shchut Echutz are both given after the Torah, are both given to Moshe after the Torah was given at Sinai, as opposed to Tvayach Tevach V'Hochen is telling us a story from a few hundred years earlier before Matan Torah. So there's also less reason to learn from that. Okay, Tosfos says anyway the Gemara is giving a better answer. Reb Shimon Nami Ligma Meshchut Echutz. Okay, why isn't Reb Shimon Takalun Gzeira Shava from Shchut Echutz and say, therefore, that it doesn't matter whether the Shchita was Rory or not? And the answer is because Reb Shimon has a different reason to object on that. Because you're going to learn Gzeira Shava is going to be from between two different things that are chulin. You have the Kisi Adam, as we said at the beginning of the parak, applies only to Cholin. Yosef having an animal shechted to give meat to his brothers is also a Cholin animal. Dane Dunham, Chulin Mikodshim. Can't learn Chulin from Kodshim, where it comes to Shvutei Chutz, by definition. That's talking about Kodshim. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, fine, it's true that it's the same word, but it's not the same type of thing. Therefore, more logically, we should reject that as being the other end of the Gzeira Shava, and say the other end of the Gzeira Shava must be something connected with Chulin, and that must be Yosef and his brothers, and that was Shvita Ruya, and therefore Rav Shimon says Shvita has to be Ruya. Okay. The Gemara says, Rav Meir, what does Rav Meir answer to that? He says, what does Osir Esmino not apply to Kodshim? As we learned in the previous paragraph, it does apply to Kodshim as well. So what do you mean you have to learn Cholin from Cholin? The fact is, we're not talking about over here, you have something which can apply equally to Cholin or to Kodshim. Now Rav Shimon agrees with that point, Tosfos says, but Tosfos says the main thing of Osir Esvinoi is mainly about Cholin. And then we learned in the previous Perek, now we know that it applies to Kodshim as well. So therefore he says still, basically we should be learning from Kodshim. Basically we should be learning from Cholin, he says. So now that we go through that discussion, Heinu Dekama, Rav Chiya, now we understand what Rav Chiya Ba'aba is saying at the beginning of the Gemara. Raw Rebbe Dvarav Shel Rav Meir, Osir Esvinoi. This is why Rebbe found Rav Meir's argument by Osir Esvinoi more compelling, Ushnoi, Beloshon Chachamim, and therefore he taught it as the opinion of the Chachamim, as to say that it's a mainstream opinion. So because of that, because we see there was this whole discussion that of how Rav Meir and Rav Shimon would learn the Gzeira Shava and in the end, since we're saying that after all, sort of if Rav Shimon's whole reason why not to learn from Shvutei Chutz is because that's Kodshim, where here we're talking about Cholin, and Rav Meir points out the fact is Osir Esvinoi applies equally well to Cholin and to Kodshim, so therefore Rebbe found that argument more compelling, and therefore he made that the opinion of the Chachamim. In fact, Tosfos points out further on that it's not only here, it's also in other areas of halacha as well. Tosfos mentions over here on this Amud something from Bava Kama. Tosfos mentions it further on Amud Beis that you have an example over there also involving shechita, tvachay and mechore. You have a case where a person steals an animal and shechts it with now he's chayim and shlomer on Bava Chamisha. You have the same machlokas over there about shechita sheinu ruya and shechita sheinu ruya, and there also Rebbe chooses the mayor's opinion and makes it the Stam Mishnah, makes it the opinion of the Chacham. So it's not just by Osir Esvinoi, it's in general, only by Kisi Adam is the exception. Okay, now let's go to Kisi Adam. My time is the mayor of Kisi Adam. Why does the mayor hold by Kisi Adam that even if it's Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya, it's still a valid Shchita, it's still considered enough of valid Shchita that Kisi Adam would be required? And the answer is Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Rama Shchicha Shchicha Mishchote Chos. Because it makes a Gzeira Shava on the word Shvicha pouring out from Shvotei Chutz again. Malahal and Shvita Sheinu Ruya Shmos Shvita. And again, by definition, Shvotei Chutz is Shvita Sheinu Ruya, because once you shecht Kodshim outside the Azara, they're also Bahanda. Afkan, Shvita Sheinu Ruya Shmos Shvita. So the same way we do. Now, by Shvotei Chutz, it says the expression that if a person shechts it outside the Azara, then it's considered Dom Shofach. It's considered as though he spilled blood. Rashi explains on the pasuk. In other words, we consider him almost as though he was guilty of murder, and that's why he's chayav paros. So we see you have the word shofach over there, and here you have the word b'shofach has gamay. So therefore, the mayor has a gzeira shava that just like over there, shchita sheinu ruya, it's still a valid shchita, even though the animal is also b'hanra. So nevertheless, it's still considered a shchita, and the person is chayav paros. Afkan, the same way here, by kisi adam shchita sheinu ruya shmo shchita, a shchita that's not ruya is still considered a shchita. Okay. Rav Shimon. Now, why does Rav Shimon disagree with that? He says, "Asher Ya'ochok." See, the fact is, the pasuk says here by Kisi Adam, it says that if you sheft a wild animal or a bird, Asher Ya'ochok, that can be eaten. And here, with Shchita Sheinu Ruya, you can't eat it. So therefore, Kisi Adam shouldn't apply. So it has to be something that's edible. Okay. But Rav Meir, what does Rav Meir answer to that? He says, "Hula more to oif tomei hadasa." Yeah, but that comes to tell us not an oif tomei, not a non kosher bird. You shech a non kosher bird or a non kosher wild animal, then you don't have to do kisi adam. So you learn that from Asher Yachol. But Rav Shimon, what does Rav Shimon answer to that? He says, "Oif tomei my time. Look, what's the reason why indeed it wouldn't apply to an oif tomei? Must be delab barachilu, precisely because you can't eat it." Well, very well, it's Shreifa, or all the other examples of our Mishnah, where you can't eat it, is also not something that can be edible. Now, fine, the Chacham Sofer says your mayor might answer, but Asher Ye'ochol, which means that excludes a species that's not edible, as opposed to an individual one that's not edible. But fine, Reb Shimon does not consider that to be a point that does not consider that to be a valid thing. So again, this explains what Rabbi Ba'aba had said. That Rabbi found compelling Rabbi Shimon's opinion that Kisi Adam that it should apply only by Shtitah Ruya Ushnoi B'loshin Chachamim, and therefore you put it in on Mishnah as the words of the Chachamim, as to say that that's the mainstream opinion of the Chachamim. So that's why, in other words, so ultimately the reason why we seem to have an inconsistency between the previous Perek and this one, as far as Shkita Shein Uruya, the reason is those are in fact different opinions of Tanoim, Reb Shimon and the Meir respectively, but in each case Rebbe chose which one he considers to be a more compelling argument and made that the opinion of the Chachak. We have to remember, of course, you know, Rebbe wasn't just sitting all by himself and compiling Mishnayos. He had his whole Beis Din, he had his whole yeshiva of Menas Chachamim with him. In fact, one reason why Rebbe's yeshiva was the central one in Eretz Yisrael at that time, and everybody who every Talmud Chacham who's able to was coming to Rebbe's yeshiva, and therefore, so when he says something, then it's the consensus of the Chachamim of his yeshiva of his Beis Din, and therefore you can really say this is the opinion of the Chachamim. In other words, they all agree that in this case Reb Shimon's opinion is the more compelling one, and in the previous Perek that Reb Meir's opinion is the more compelling one. Okay. Let's talk more about this machlokas of Reb Meir and Reb Shimon. Amar Reb Abba, loy lakol amar Reb Meir shchita sheinu ru'uya shma shchita. Reb Meir is not saying across the board that a shchita sheinu ru'uya is not a shchita. Moide Reb Meir shein matzirasa v'achila. After all, a mayor agrees that the shchita of a treifa is not going to be matter it to eat. Now that seems to be very obvious. Why does Reb Abba have to tell us that? We're going to see in the next lines of the Gemara. And also, continues Reb Abba, and vice versa, Reb Shimon does not say across the board that a shchita shein ru'uya is not a shchita. Reb Shimon would agree that it takes away the truma of nevela, as we learned extensively in the fourth parak. In the second and fourth parakim, so far as on the sefer, that a nevela is metame, is metame min haTorah. But on the other hand, you have an animal that was shechted with a proper shchita, even though it was trefa or any other problems. Nevertheless, it still doesn't have the truma of nevela anymore. We talk about it has a truma derabanan, the trefa shchita, but which is relevant as far as kodshim. But if not metame, a person deraisa, that he or anything or his clothing or whatever should become tummy, it's only aimed on the tummy, foods and drinks, and only of kodesh. So both Reb Meir and Reb Shimon agree to a certain extent, with each other's opinion, Reb Meir agrees you can't eat it, Reb Shimon agrees it's not in the veil. Well, let's figure out what's Reb Abba's chiddush in it. Amar, loy lakol amar Reb Meir shchita shein ru'uya shma shchita. Reb Meir is not saying across the board that shchita shein ru'uya is shma shchita. Reb Abba had said moide Reb Meir shein matirasa v'achila. Reb Meir agrees that it wouldn't be matirah to eat. What's a shchita? Well, of course, shreifa m'shchita m'mishtaria. How can you be matirah shreifa just because you shechted it? So why does Reb Abba even need to tell us that? And the answer is loy tzricha. Well, the only thing that Reb Abba's statement was needed for was shechet as a treifa. Suppose a person shechets a treifa mother umotzav up and tishachai, and he finds in it a baby that's after 9 months of pregnancy development, and the baby is alive. Now we learned in the fourth parak we had a machloikas between the mayor and the chachamim about that. Do you need to shech that baby by itself, or is it mutter with the mother's shchita? The chachamim held it mutter with the mother's shchita because it was found in the womb. Reb Meir had said that since it was full term and it's alive, then therefore you need to shech it on its own. So now the twist is that the mother was treif. Stop that, Hamina. You might have thought, maybe since Reb Meir has said that shchita shein ru'uya is still considered a valid shchita. So maybe the shchita of the mother should be effective v'loy ben boy shchita, and therefore it shouldn't require shchita of its own. But mashmalan, therefore, Reb Abba says that no, even Reb Meir is going to say that it's not effective. And you need to shech the baby by itself. Now you can shecht it, as we learned there. We said our boss, and Rashi points out, we learned there, our boss Simon and Akshal Berachmana, that the, in effect the Torah is saying that there are four Simonim that you can shecht that would make it kosher. You can either shecht the mother or you can shecht the baby, and either one will work, but here where the mother was a trefa, then you can't do that. You still need the shechting. Now, as Tosfos points out, as we learned over there, if it was a full-term baby, but it was dead, or if it was a non-full-term baby, then yes, of course, it would be uber yerachimah. Then anyway, we would say it's considered a part of the mother. And since the mother was trefa, then automatically the baby would be also as well. So then we'll ask the Tisra, well, how do you even think? Or what's the svara to even think that a mayor would say that the shchita of the mother should help for the baby? Well, Amar the mayor himself is the very one who said in that parak, Ben Tkua, this case of a baby that was born, that was found alive in the womb after 9 months, requires its own shchita. So Reb Meir was the opinion who said over there that if you find it alive in the womb and it's full term, then you do need to shecht it. So of course Reb Meir was going to say that even if the mother was perfectly healthy, you still need to shecht the baby. How much more so if the mother was a trefa? Again, why does Reb Abba need to tell us that Reb Meir would agree that you can't eat it, that it's loy shmosh shita? And the answer is loy tzrifa. The reason why Reb Abba needed to make a statement is because not so much appointed a mayor, but the Reb Savalak Reb Meir, the Savalak Rabbanon, because he holds in one aspect like Reb Meir and in another aspect like the Rabbanon, namely Savalak Reb Meir Damashkita Shein Ruya Shma Shkita, as we said on Amud Aleph, Rebbe general holds like Reb Meir that Shkita Shein Ruya is still considered a valid Shkita for most purposes in Halakha. The only case where he said was that Kisya Dan. So Rebbe holds that the Shita is considered a Shita. The Savalak Rabbanon, Dami Shita Sima Metaharte. On the other hand, when it comes to the Ben Pekua, this baby found in the womb, he holds that the Pachamim, that even though it was found alive, nevertheless the Shita of the mother is Matu the baby, without it needing to be shechted by itself. You could shecht it by itself if you want. Like we said, Abba Simonim, you have four available Simonim to shecht, even the two of the mother or the two of the baby. But you don't have to. Instead, it can be mutter with the mother's shchita. So now, according to Rebbe's opinion, the kivin to Omer Rabbanon shchita is in the metaharet. Now, since the Chachamim say, and Rebbe agrees with them, that the shchita is metaharet, you would think even when the mother was trefa, tahanile shchita simoy, even in this case, the shchita of the mother should be effective for it. Once it's not, it's a full term baby. And therefore, it's not considered yerech ima. So just because the mother was trefa doesn't mean the baby was trefa. We talked about that back in Perek Eilu Trefas as well. That with birds, it's not like that. The bird of a trefa is also, but the zvad, if a trefa animal gives birth to a healthy baby, then it itself is mutter. So on the one hand, the Chachamim hold, and Rebbe agrees with them, that the shchita of the mother is generally matu the baby without its own shchita. On the other hand, he holds like a mayor, that shchita shein ruya, shma shchita. Then therefore, so you would think, maybe tahanele shchita sigmai, maybe the shchita of the mother, who is trefa, should be effective, and should cover the baby as well, v'loy v'bar shchita, and therefore the baby itself should not require shchita. Kamash malon, therefore, Rav Abba says that no, when the mother is trefa, it's not so. It needs its own shchita, even to not so much appointed. When he says loy lakol omer a mayor, he means even anybody who agrees partially with a mayor, namely Rebbe, is not going to say that the shchita in that case is effective. Fine. So that explains the first half of Rav Abba's statement and the chiddush in it, that even if we hold shchita shein ruya shma shchita as Rebbe generally does, nevertheless, even if we hold in addition also like the chachamim that of ben pekua is mutter as long as the mother was shechted, and it doesn't matter whether the baby itself is alive and viable, nevertheless when the mother was trefa, then that wouldn't apply. Okay, then Rabbi Abba had continued, it's not across the board that Rabbi Shimon says shchita shein ruya is not a valid shchita, because we said, Rabbi Shimon would agree that the shchita takes away the tumor of nevela. So again, the Gemara asks shchita, obviously, nevela is nevela, shchita is shchita. And the answer is, and we know that. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Amilam Masmi Satana, others say it was taught in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says about Nevela of Chiyomus Min Abahema, when there dies any of the animals, then the Nevela is Matame. So when it says Min Abahema, from that we learn Mitzas Behema Matama. Only some kinds of animals that died are matame. Some kinds of animals that died are not matame. The ezu, what's the distinction? Zu trefa sheshachta, when the animal is a trefa and you shechted it. So it's a shechita shein ruya. And on one hand, you can consider that it died in the sense you can't eat it. Nevertheless, it's still the pasuk is telling us that trumas nevelus doesn't apply. So again, what's the chiddush of Rav Abba that a trefa that you shechted it doesn't have trumas nevelus? And the answer is what Tzrifa, what Rav Abba said, was not necessary to say, but only the Tzrifa has that Tzrifa being Chulin Ba'azara. Suppose the Tzrifa was Shechted, and it's also Chulin, and he's Shechting it in the Azara. The Tanya, we don't know about that. Tzrifa is a Tzrifa. If a person Shechts a Tzrifa in the Bismikdash, V'chein HaShurfa V'nimtis Tzrifa, or he Shechts and it turns out to be Tzrifa, in other words, the difference is the second case would be most shefas are in internal organs. So you're not going to know that it has this shefa until you actually shecht it and then open it up and start checking. The first case, it actually explains, would be, for example, that its hind legs were cut off at a point, as we learned from the fourth paragraph. There's a point above which, or an area which, if the legs are cut, then the animal is shefa. And so we're talking about where it was cut in that area, and therefore it's clear that it's clear even before the shita that this animal is shefa. So in any case, in either case, we're talking about cholin bazara. Reb Shimon matir b'hanah. Reb Shimon says that they're going to be mutir b'hanah. Because again, shchita shein ruya is not considered a shchita. So in other words, cholin that was shechted in the azara are also b'hanah. The Rashi explains, the Torah tells us that the Gemara explains in other places, we learn like this. The Torah says, when you're far away from what we talked about yesterday with the psukim that say in Parashas Re'eh, that's a when you're living far away from the Beis Hamikdash and you can't come there every time you want to eat meat, so then the Torah tells you go ahead and shecht wherever you are. And the expression is when you're far away from the Beis Hamikdash, then you can shecht. So that implies that you can only shecht chulin when you're far away, when you're outside the Azara, but not when you're in the Azara. That's where we learn the issue of chulin ba'azara. So whatever here wasn't considered a shchita, because again, Rav Shimon, following his opinion, says shchita shein ruya is not considered a shchita. Therefore, it's not considered that it was shechted by azara. And therefore, when it was regular cholin and it was shechted in the azara, and the only reason why it's also is because it's cholin, then Rav Shimon isn't going to agree based on that pasuk that it's also banam. But here you have the animal is tzrefa. In any way can't be brought as a korban, and in any way can't be eaten. Rav Shimon again is going to say that that's considered shchita shein. Therefore, according to him, then it's not considered. It was a shchita, and therefore it's not going to be also on the grounds of cholin shenishchatu ba'azara. So Reb Shimon, matir b'hanah. So Reb Shimon will say it's mutar b'hanah. The Chum says, from the Chum say, it doesn't matter. Shchita shein ruya shma shchita. Now, stop with that hamina. Once Reb Shimon is saying that it's mutar b'hanah, because he's saying the shchita was not considered a shchita, aim a lav shchita he klaus. You would think maybe it's not considered a shchita for any purpose. The aim of midei nevela nami lo nitaira, and therefore you would think it doesn't even take away the tumah of nevela. Kamash malon. Therefore, Reb Abba says that no, even Reb Shimon would agree that in fact it was considered a shchita to the extent it takes away tumas nevela. The only thing is, it's not considered a shchita for the purpose of becoming also as cholin shenishchatu ba'azara. Okay. Now, the premise of that last point was that Reb Shimon is saying that the issue of cholin shenishchatu ba'azara is daraisa, and we learn it from that pasuk, and therefore we can say we would have thought that where it's not considered a shchita, as Reb Shimon's opinion is, then maybe it shouldn't be considered a shchita for this purpose, and we're saying nevertheless Reb Shimon says it is. So Amalei Reb Papa Labaya, but Reb Papa asks Abaya, is that really so? Is Sovereign Reb Shimon cholin ba'azara a daraisa? Does Reb Shimon really hold that cholin ba'azara is actually also daraisa? Or maybe Reb Shimon holds that the whole thing is only d'rabbanan for reasons. I think Mara is going to explain in a couple of lines. Amalei Sabaya says ain. Yes, as a matter of fact, v'hotnan, and indeed we can see from a Mishnah in Masechta Tmura, Reb Shimon, at the end of Masechta Tmura, which we'll learn next year, Be'ez Hashem, the Mishnah talks about what kinds of Yisurei Hanah have to be burnt versus what kinds have to be buried. One difference is, if they have to be burnt, then in general you can have hanah from the ashes. If they have to be buried, you cannot. So we'll learn about that in Masechta Tzemura, Be'ezras Hashem. But anyway, Reb Shimon Omer, Chulin shenishchatu ba'azara yisrofu ba'esh. Reb Shimon says that chulin that was shechted in the azara have to be burnt in fire. V'chein chayish shenishchatu ba'azara. And the same thing, a wild animal. Let's say a person brought a deer to the Beis Hamikdash and shechted it. Now, then nevertheless, the same din would apply. So now says Abaye, here's the proof. If you say that the whole Isser of Cholin Vazara is Zaraisa, well and very well, we understand why Rav Shimon is saying that. Then we can say, Minat Torah maybe it would apply only to behemoths, which can be brought as korbanos. Because there, again, the Torah is telling you, if you want to shech the domestic animal, and you fall away from the Beis HaMikdash, then go ahead and shech it, but if it's chulin, then don't shech it in the Beis HaMikdash. A chaya, which is not in the category of korbanos anyway, maybe the Torah wouldn't be answering it, and we would say we'd make a zera even on a chaya that would be also b'hanach. Because we'd say chaya otu behema, because if you were allowed to eat a chaya that was shechted in the Azorah, you might come to also eat a behema that was shechted in the Azorah. So therefore we can understand if it's Daraisa, then we would include Chaya as well, even though everybody knows it's not conscious. Now Rashi points out that actually if we're saying it's Daraisa, you don't really need to talk about Gzera. The same Pasuk that tells us that a behemoth would also tell us that a Chaya would be also. Because again, the idea would be any creature that you want to shech, you can only, and it's Cholin, you can shech it only if it's outside the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos on the other hand says that Tosfos brings that no, actually it's true. You can learn an Isu Hanah from the same pasuk, but the fact that you would have to burn it would only be a gzera, because if otherwise you might confuse it with a behema. So we would say, in other words, Midaraisa, they would both be Osir, but Midaraisa, you would only have, Reb Shimon would say, you have to burn the behema that was shechted by Azara, and then Midarabbanan, we would say that you also have to burn the chaya that was shechted by Azara. Tosfos gives a different answer as well, there's a different braisa in Kedushin that talks about the concept of Cholin Shenishchatu Ba'Azara, which maybe Reb Shimon disagrees with that with that braisa, and says that actually maybe both of them are required to be burnt in the Torah also, and not just that it would be a Zera Zerabana like we're saying over here. Anyway, so if we say the underlying issu is Minat Torah, then all of that makes sense, says Abaye. Eli Amit Dirabanan, but if you say the whole issu is only Dirabanan, the Hema Maitaima, then why Bechlal would an animal be also, if you shecht full an animal in the Azara, it would be Exeda Dirabanan, Dum Osi Lamechel Kodshin Bachowitz, because otherwise people might mistakenly eat Kodshin outside the proper place. What are you going to see? An animal is brought to the Azara and shechted over there, and then it's Cholin, it's not a Korban, it's something that the owner is taking the meat home and eating it wherever he wants. People are going to mistakenly think you can do the same thing with touch. So therefore, he gufa gzera. So that itself, the fact that even applies to a domestic animal, according to that way of looking at it, would be gzera d'rabbanan. So why would it apply to a chaya? Are we going to make a gzera on top of gzera? The chacham don't do that. When the chacham make a gzera, that itself is what they have to do, because that's susi of gatera, but they don't make a gzera to fence in the gzera. So therefore, there's a bayah. You see very clearly from that, therefore, that according to Reb Shimon, the whole issue of Cholin Ba'Azara must indeed be Daraisa, and therefore Chaya is included as well, and therefore you have to burn it. So therefore, yes, we can use that as a basis for saying that once, even though it's also Daraisa, you might have thought that it's not considered a Shkita at all, because it's Shkita Shein Aruya, and nevertheless, Reb Shimon says it is considered a Shkita to the extent. That it won't have the truma of nevela, so you won't be able to eat it. It'll be also banah, but nevela at least it won't be.